Thank you for your introduction. I am editor of this kind of tabloid with a title Generation Times. I didn't expect that Professor Isezaki had such a strong feelings about me to make him participate in this project. I heard that for the first time today, so I feel very flattered. And I myself related to PCS in the end of last year. On the theme of peace communication, I have started a classroom on peace communications at Tokyo University of Foreign Studies, but I'm not in the academia. I'm rather a practitioner. I work as a media professional, communication professional. In the previous session, Desmond made a very good question about PCS, and he's one of the students that I teach. He looks older than me and bigger than myself, but one of the reasons why I wanted to be here today is because I knew him, and though he is from one of the conflict-related countries, he is very serious in thinking about it. I was sort of looking at the situation of conflict from the surface as a in the area of the media. But our technology, if our knowledge can be of real help to them, I wanted to be able to contribute. That's the reason why I decided to accept this invitation. And I'd like to introduce to you what Generation Times is doing. Let me briefly introduce to you my media. This in itself, well, the original concept, well, this is not a daily or a weekly magazine. This is a periodical magazine, and including myself, young people in Japan, or people in the 30s or less than their 30s, many young people don't read newspapers anymore. I think what they see on a daily basis is Yahoo News, the headlines on the Yahoo webpage. And under that situation, what I want to tell them through my magazine is that I feel so much distance between the daily events in the world, between myself, that I want to do something to fill in the gap. So I always have special articles on that. For instance, this is about roots. It says that in Japan, we have a culture of a family symbol or a family mark related to one's family name. My name, Ito, is a very common name in Japan. I didn't even know that there was a family crest for my family, Ito. So I wonder, what is the meaning of that? That is what I picked up in this article. And also about refugees. I know about refugees through news articles, but refugees who are in Japan. In front of UN University, they were having a demonstration, a sit-in. And this was a 23-year-old girl who was there and decided to pick up her story to introduce her to the Japanese readers. So I use art, a piece art, and through such works, I try to introduce my thoughts. So what simply shows what I'm doing, this is, let us say this is a living room, a usual living room. Either a TV or a PC is in front of you, and there is so much information available through the TV. So my feeling or the feeling of the people around me is that at the other side of the TV, they believe that is the world and that is a society. But where you are is already the society. So how to fill in that distance between the two? That is how I'm writing this, the articles. For instance, in case of Yahoo News, well, I'm also making a Generation Times webpage. And on the day of 9/11 in New York until today, the date and the time that has passed since then is shown. What I want to tell is that the news on Yahoo, at the longest, would stay there for one day, or the short ones, the headlines appear in only a few hours. So your feelings is that if they disappear from the headline, you have impressions that the news is already resolved, that is already done. So information available through the web is that different from paper news is that you can include the sense of time and show that nothing has ended. So this is a website that I have. And this is a site that I'm making cooperation with Peaceboat. The theme is the intersection of 6.5 billion people. 6.5 billion is the total population of our world. So it shows how the world is connected. I'm trying to visualize that. And as you can see, randomly, it shows New York, New Zealand, Libya. And young people in their 20s, they shoot the pictures of their daily lives, and every 20 seconds, the pictures shuffle. So sometimes there are pictures all with roads or all with automobiles by coincidence. That is a visual sense. It shows that the world is always moving together at the same time. And not with Mr. Kawasaki, but the different staff, we are working together to make this page. Now, through my self-introduction, I wanted to tell you what the theme I wanted to tell you today. The title that I have with me is that justice is never communicated. Professor Sasaki said that this provocative title would be good. Well, recently, including Peaceboat, NPOs, NGOs, and also with from the government as well, we are sometimes asked to work together, and I think that is good. However, well, the younger people, what is important is that you want to convey your message to the younger people. But on the surface, they want to look more fashionable and cool. There are a lot of inquiries like that. And Mr. Kawasaki said that the message that they were telling was correct. But the reason why it's not communicated might be because it doesn't match with the feelings of the younger generation. But to make it look cool and fashionable, just by doing that, if that is communicated, it would be so easy. Professor Sasaki talked about it yesterday. He was wearing a black parka, a casual wear. But if it is possible to solve conflicts by wearing an Armani suit, it would be very easy. So whenever I'm consulted, I often said that things that seems right, just like the phrase justice or freedom, equality, democracy. Such phrases that sound so obvious usually are not communicated that easily. I start to explain from that. And that is because the term justice or freedom, it is very difficult to come up with a definition. Who is using this word and how? Depending on that, the meaning is totally different. In case of freedom, for instance, let us say, well, the freedom that Professor Sasaki wants and the freedom that I want, I think we do contradict each other. It might not be the same. And also, democracy might be the same. If the majority wins, it means that there's always a minority that is losing. So how to communicate that? Well, in case of anti-war movements, there are many anti-war activities using the phrase no, but that is not communicated because no is a phrase that is used to deny something that is logic. But what is important and what I want to mention today is that it is not a logical presentation. So let me start. So, what is communication? In my lectures, I often start by saying, what is communication? And when you say communication, I don't think there's no one who don't know the nuance of a term communication. In my industry, when we say communication, this is something that takes place everywhere, in case of peace building as well, but on your daily lives also. For instance, this is I don't think this is something that is example appropriate to tell in front of so many academicians. For instance, a young couple consults with a friend about the boyfriend or girlfriend, and a couple is having a quarrel. And the man says, even if she asks me which is more important, me or the work, I can answer to that question, because if I don't work, I cannot get married with her. That is his statement. But the girlfriend says that if you cannot take a day off in our anniversary, I don't think we can continue in this way in the future. So this is a communication gap. This happens every day. And for this example, I think the solution might be different case by case. But one thing I wanted to tell you today, I have a very simple quiz. And please answer to me without thinking that much. So A or B of the following, which is the same as this one? A very simple question. Let me show you what is A and B. This is A. And this is B. So please choose A or B, which is the same. So as you can see, the person who, some people may choose A or B. I don't say that either is correct and the other is wrong, but the question is the standard to make a selection. Those who chose A place importance on the shape, and the blue circle was chosen. But those who chose B place importance on the color. They believe color is more important. So what happens in the road is the final result. This is a very simple example, but the result is entirely different, but the person who made the choice believes that they are correct. So what I mean is that I talk that the communication is not a logical presentation. Both A and B are right. They are correct. On that assumption, what is important to think about the assumption, unless you know what is the assumption, no matter how much logical is your presentation, you cannot communicate in preventing in conflict or in solving conflict. I'd like to give you a close example. Let us say a man was not eating for many days. He couldn't eat for days, and he was too hungry that he stole a piece of bread from a bakery and was caught. So how should you punish this person? Let us say you have such an experience, but the method of punishment might be quite different depending on circumstances. Let us say there are two ways of punishing. A's answer is that if you let him go, you cannot show a good example, you cannot show a good model to your children. So it is bad to steal a bread, so you should punish according to the rules of a society. That is correct. B's answer is that yes, it is bad to steal, but it is the society's responsibility to make him so hungry. So what is important is to try to solve the society so that that will not happen again. So which one will you choose? You can think about that by yourselves. But this is what people say to each other. The part in red are the assumptions that I've made. Based on what assumption is that person making that assertion? So to be logical, it's very simple. It says A is B, B is C, so C is D. Because it is A, it should be B. That is logic. But then what is A? A is decided by each individual. The starting point, you must decide the starting point by yourself. If you see someone stealing the bread, what is the starting point of your logic? What is the standard of selection? That would be your culture, your habit, your custom, or your feelings, depending on what position you start from. So you first must know that A is different from person to person. Otherwise, no matter how logic is your communication, you will not be able to communicate what you want to tell. When I talk with Mr. Kawasaki and other NGOs, that is how I start explaining. So A in the real society is a mere hypothesis. And a standard to choose A, that would be culture, custom. But today, I'd like to give just one example. One type of culture is language. Well, today, I have a very interesting place to give an example. My Japanese is translated into English. But there are words available in Japanese but not available in English, and vice versa. Of course, there are differences in languages. And I would like to give you a very good example. How many colors are there in a rainbow? When you ask this question, I think all Japanese person will answer 7 colors. That is what we were educated since we were children in Japan. And just one example, in other countries, some countries say it is 6 colors, or the countries that say there are 5 colors. The countries saying 5 colors, as you can see at the very left hand side, they say it is black. But they are not seeing a black color in a rainbow, but all dark colors in the gradation. They don't have a language to indicate different dark colors, so everything is called black in that culture. So you're looking at the same thing, but the expression is different depending on the culture. And when you're not feeling good, when you're feeling bad, how would you express the color of your face? This is the phone, but in case of Japan, well, Professor, I would say, Professor Isazaki, you're pale, your color is, your face looks blue. And I don't know about other countries, but according to what I have researched, in Spain, it seems that they express with a color yellow, and in China, they say your face is white. And in France, they say it's green. Perhaps it's different in reality, but the same situation is expressed in different words. So what is the difference in image? This is a world map that you are familiar with, but this is not a world map familiar to the Japanese. The maps that Japanese use usually have Japan in the center, but Latin that aside, the places in red and blue, please look at these places. The top country in red is Russia, and the other one in red is the African continent. As you can see, if you compare the two, if Africa is one, you may have impression that Russia is 1.5 times bigger than Africa, but the actual area, Russia's area is about 70 million square kilometers, but Africa is 30 million square kilometers. It's not intentional that the map is made in this way, but that is the scale of the map. I think you are taught about that on textbooks, but for instance, in Europe, this is Europe and this is South America, but the actual size is about 3 times different. Though this is not any propaganda, but our image that we have in our minds in the real world has a big gap. It is very different. And this is something related to media literacy. Who is this? Well, I will skip because I don't have time, but this is O.J. Simpson, who was in a trial case in the U.S., an American football athlete who was tried for a case. And this is the same picture. The picture in the center is original picture, but comparing Newsweek and Time, the way they use the photograph is entirely different. So depending on which magazine you look at, the image is different. So I'll talk about media literacy later, but what are the assumptions that make the media? So this is my main subject today, to make the assumption. Depending on how you make the assumption A, one factor making the assumption A is the media, TV, radio, internet. But one thing I found interesting when I was making a survey for my lecture, I'm sorry it's very difficult to read, this is the volume of circulation of magazines in the world. When I looked at that, I was very surprised that in Japan, the best-selling magazine, against my expectation, was entirely different. In the US, it was Reader's Digest, the bestseller, but in France, and in Germany, and in UK, the top three best-selling magazines belong to the same category, and that category are TV guide magazines. So best-selling magazine are magazines guiding TVs. And maybe that is only in Japan, but as you might know, we have morning news programs on the Japanese TVs. And that might be a trend during the last decade. And they show the morning edition of all the daily newspapers on the TV. TV programs introduce the headlines of the newspapers. And another data, as the length of media contact per day, the majority is TV. In Japan, the average is about 3.5 hours that they have contact with TV. The majority of the media that people get in contact is TV. So in our daily lives, media provides us with an assumption. So let me move on to my main talk of peace communication. The relationship between media and war. As Professor Isazaki said, basically, the technique of propaganda is you have an enemy. If they use propaganda and you also want to use the same method, well, how have media and war developed? Let me give you a digest. Starting before the First World War, TV, screen images, was born in 1895. The Lumiere brothers invented the screen image, and the First World War took place in 1914. And that was the first time in the human history that war was recorded through images. And by doing so, what happened is that many photographs accompanied the armed forces to take records. So even though you're far away, even if the top leaders are far away, they can see what's taking place on site. The First World War, when it started, it was not a technologically advanced war, but you could see many strategies. For instance, to study the weapons used by the enemy, you could do that through new technology. And in the Second World War, technology has further developed. In the Second World War, there's a very well-known phrase. With the advent of the media, an American senator was saying that the first victim of war is the truth. The truth is the first to be victimized by war. That was what that American senator said. And in the Second World War, or from our professional point of view, Nazi used a very advanced way of propaganda. And there was a minister in charge of making PRs called Goebbels. He used many ways, public speeches, posters, flyers, movies, radios. He used a mixture of media. And the symbolic event was the Berlin Olympics. The Olympics were held in Berlin, and a very well-known artist called Riefenstahl made a movie. A lot of emphasis was given. They try to look it beautiful, but also there are many holes in the stadium so that they could shoot the movies from a camera in those holes. And the nationalism was stressed through the Olympics. That is how that was started. And as you can see on this picture, the pose of raising the right-hand side of a flag, I think this is a very good piece of art. This is a portrait and just writing Hitler. But I'm very surprised that they can make such a high quality pictures at the time. And this seems to be a picture of Hitler with the president of the time. And by doing so, he tried to raise their awareness. And from this time, because Nazi was so good at making PRs, fascism brochures, magazines were shown. This is showing Hitler, and there are coins on his throat, and here there are five airplanes, but this shows the hand of the devil. This is based on the hand of the devil. And there are many cartoons about Hitler. And to be in such cartoons shows how much interesting he was as a character. And at the Vietnam War, from the media's point of view, that was a war in which all of us, ordinary people, could see real war in their living rooms. And at the same time, an anti-war, a peace ad, started to be used at the time. This mark at the left-hand side comes from the footprints of pigeons, which symbolized peace. So those are naked men and women showing the same mark. So there are a lot of such peace ads during the Vietnam War. And after this, during the Gulf War, after Vietnam War, there was a lot of strong news censorship during the Gulf War. And I recall it slightly that the monitor images hitting the target was shown on the screens, and the foreign media called it a Nintendo War because Nintendo was a synonym for computer games. So it was criticized that this was a computer game war. And another feature was satellite broadcasting, CNN, became a big hit after the Gulf War. CNN is so well known currently, but it was established in 1980. It became a big hit during the Gulf War and established its position. And the Iraq War, as a reaction from the media, they didn't want to have any new censorship. So about 600 reporters accompanied the military, and also new media like Al Jazeera was surfaced. And so this became a multipolar reporting, and also the internet was available. So what is interesting is that this is a war during the era of the internet. So let me skip these pages. And this is the American army spreading flyers to the general public, asking them to surrender. And what is the meaning of media literacy? In the media, propaganda was something that we had to pay attention to in case of war. In case of Gulf War, these are the birds covered with oil, and the same happened in the Iraq War. Well, this is a mistake of the newspaper company and not so intentional, but this is a picture on Los Angeles Times. A British soldier was guiding the citizens, but actually a picture of a citizen and the picture of a British soldier. You can see that they're looking in different directions. So this picture was made up. This is a composite photograph, and this photographer was fired because of this picture. So to understand propaganda, that was very important until now. But now the media is facing different circumstances. After 9/11, there are many signs showing that the U.S. was preparing for the war in Iraq. One thing very known is that after 9/11, President Bush nominated a woman called Charlotte Pierce as an Undersecretary of State. She was a star in the advertising industry. She experienced being chairman of two major advertising companies. And she became Undersecretary of State. And also, a global communication system was introduced by her to translate the American government's message simultaneously to 30 different languages. But before the Iraq War, she was already fired. And in February 2002, it was discovered that the Pentagon was trying to establish a strategic support bureau. This was a bureau to leak false information to foreign media to impact the public opinion of other countries. But a newspaper reporter uncovered this, and this effort ended in failure. Now I'm running out of time. But now when we talk about media literacy, may I speak a little longer? Media literacy is not anything special, but one point I wanted to tell you today is that the media, I want you to have assumption that everything is subjective in Japan and the other countries as well. People say that media should be fair and neutral. That is ideal, but from the people providing the information, that is impossible. It doesn't mean that you want to make a lie or that you want to disguise others, but the feature of media itself forms subjectivity. This is where Saddam Hussein's statue was demolished, but as you can see, this is how it looks like. This is where it took place. It is not intentional. This is a place where there are not more than 200 people. But to make it more sensational, maybe they were showing this way. But photograph, picture is something that cuts off a specific image from the whole. As you can see, this shows reports on both US and Iraq. This is an Iraqi soldier surrendering, and this is an American prisoner of war. Both were showing different images. So this shows how the US is contributing to human rights. And Iraq is showing images showing that the US is very cruel. So where do you install your camera and how do you show the picture? That in itself is subjective. Let us say there's a white bear with a baby bear, and they're very hungry, and they find another animal to eat, and they find happy that the small bear could find a seal to eat. But from the other animal's point of view, they're being attacked by a different animal. When you want to express something, even though you are not intentional, it is always subjective. You must be aware of that. When I said before about language, when you use languages, when you use the term air bombing, often the media uses the term air raid or air bombing. In Japanese, we say kubaku, which means air bombing. It has the connotation that the bomb is being attacked from the air, but those people on the ground, they are being attacked from the air. So if you use the word terrorist in the media, how much would that impact? Regardless of whether there is an intention of making propaganda, when you make any choice of the words you use, that in itself could be a propaganda. And I think Professor Anthony was saying that you can't answer that question only 2 minutes. But I think that was a very important point. Media has limited space and time. When media says that it is fair and neutral, they bring opponents and say you have 2 minutes to express your views, and they say it is fair and neutral. But as I mentioned about assumption, if a general public opinion in the US at the time was for Iraq war, someone opposing the Iraq war to say something different from others. They are accountable for what they say. They need time to explain things not accepted by the general public. So to be fair, within limited time, this action in itself is very difficult. And lastly, as last point about assumption, at the PCS, I talked about this to my students, and this is about preconception. For instance, the preconception is that the southern hemisphere is warm, but there is also winter in the southern hemisphere, but the impression is that the southern hemisphere is warm. Chinese products break easily, the Mongolians ride on horses, Indians are good at mathematics, Italians are passionate, communism is evil. World without a border is peaceful. There are many preconceptions. But the feature is that this is based on the appearance, whether you're fat or not. This is all based on the superficial appearance. But there are unconscious preconceptions that you cannot answer. So people have assumptions that they have different information, must try to communicate with each other. That is what is important. You must be aware that the assumptions are different. And ask the Professor Isazaki that peace communication's important thing was to change the preconception. So I made a media an image in this way to show that preconception could be changed. Could you dim the lights at the front? By switching the preconceptions raised by many people, it would be possible to overturn a concept. This is the motif of this image.
はい、ありがとうございます。
Thank you very much.
すみません、長くなりましたが、以上
が。I'm sorry to be so long. Thank you.